So we're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 down to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Good morning. It's nice to see you this Christmas morning, and happy Christmas. Dominic is my name if you don't know me, and it's terrific to see you. Just before leaving for church this morning, I checked Facebook to find out what everybody's updates were on Christmas. And I thought I'd just read you what my friends are thinking about Christmas just as we get underway this morning. You could, of course, ask somebody here what they think and what they feel about Christmas, but it's so much quicker to check the status update on Facebook. And so I can report to you that Dave is up the coast for Christmas, and Luke wants everyone to have a Merry Christmas. Dave prefers Jesus to Santa. Andrew, having got home at almost 2 a.m., is already awake and very excited about Christmas Day. It's now 4 a.m. and the oldest two are in the bath. Jeff is enjoying a white Christmas, and Rob isn't actually roasting chestnuts on an open fire, but you get the picture. I got down to David. David refuses to use the word merry for Christmas owing to its cliched status. He wishes everyone a commercialism-free Christmas instead. I don't want to say Merry Christmas because it's commercial. And how do you feel? Like, we, at the end of church this morning, we walk over there and we have a coffee and we say, "Commercial-free Christmas to you. Commercial-free Christmas to you. Commercial-free Christmas to you." Wouldn't you feel like a hypocrite? I mean, we could pretend for 15 minutes after church this morning that we were having a commercial. Well, we couldn't even pretend, could we? I mean, already in our church meeting, we've had 3 books advertised. This is not a commercial. You can't do it. And yet the whole commercialism of Christmas, you can lose the real meaning of Christmas. I want to read you something. I want to imagine with you for a moment that it's a one-man boat. It's upside down. It's somewhere off the West Australian coast. And the date is the 9th of January, 1997. An around-the-world yachtsman, Tony Bullimore, has been lonely and cold and hungry and desperate for 5 days. Let me read you a little extract from his biography. Bang, bang, bang! Noise seems to explode in the cuddy. What the hell is that? My heart is jammed in my throat. I roll sideways, swinging my legs beneath me as I hit the water. I can hear an engine. Maybe it's a helicopter or a boat. It's coming from the Trueport side. They're here. They're here. They've come for me. I don't believe it. I have to signal them. I start punching the roof with fists made useless by the cold. I take a deep breath and dive. Cold stabs my eyes, but I need to keep them open. I shoulder the door. I slide through. I kick through the wall into the dark green. I kick once, twice, 3 times, using my arms to push me downwards against the natural buoyancy of the inflation immersion suit. Rigging brushes my legs. Deeper, Tony, deeper. You don't want to get tangled. You've come through too much to perish like a fish in a net. I crash out of the water, blinking away the salt and the brightness of the first daylight that I've seen in days. Directly in front of me, filling my entire field of vision, is a warship. Absolute, unparalleled elation floods through me. A joy so pure that it actually hurts. Tears mingle with seawater and run down my unshaven cheeks. I've been given a second chance at life. From a dark, wet, lonely place, I have been reborn. Where's the rescue boat? I don't know how long I can tread water. I'm exhausted. I hear voices and turn. There he is! There he is! He's in the water! A bearded face is peering over at me in the upturned hull, looking surprised to see me. An engine roars. I see somebody in black swimming towards me from around the stern of the boat. The strength in his arms is amazing. He wraps them around my chest, lifts me out of the water like a child. Thank you, I try to say. But the words choke in my throat. I lean back and let my body go limp. It's nice to be somebody else's responsibility. The inflatable boat is coming round the bow of my boat, creating a wash. I've got his shoulders, someone shouts. Take his other arm. On the count of three. One, two, three. Suddenly I leave the water and sprawl face down in the dinghy. Tony Ballymore was rescued on the 9th of January, 1997. Every 9th of January, I take it, for the rest of his life, he will look with amazing joy at that way he felt off the West Australian coast when he saw that Australian warship. The topic I've given myself to speak on today is, why is Christmas worth celebrating? And the answer is, Christmas is worth celebrating because of a Tony Bullimore kind of joy. And yet, I think Christmas sometimes doesn't feel like that. When we think of Christmas, when we think of the issues of Christmas, we think of the stress of getting things ready for lunch. Who's felt tense about getting things ready for lunch today? Who's felt tense the last week about getting things ready? Do you know in our family we have deadlines that impose on us to do with Christmas? On the 25th of November, Christmas presents have to be bought or stress rises. That's with the wife part of our family. With the husband part of our family, it's a much later deadline. Christmas cards have got to be, and there's all this pressure that builds up and builds up and builds up like a pressure, and we can miss that Bullimore-like joy. What I want us to do is think about why we really, 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 really must hang on to Merry Christmas. Why we must say Christmas is about joy. And I want to do it by showing you this first account of the first Christmas, and I want to take you through the who and the why and the what of the first Christmas, and it's Matthew chapter 1, and open up to that handout sheet. Do it with me. Grab the little handout sheet. We're going to be looking back at that very first Christmas and the reading that was just read to us, and this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. In Christmas, in the birth of Jesus, God comes to live with humanity. I want to pick that up in 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. The angel is speaking to Joseph. And the angel says to Joseph that this birth of this little baby is fulfilling a prophecy. There's lots of babies here, lots of babies on the other side of the glass up there, and none of them were born with a 700-year prophecy. None of them were born with a 700-year prophecy. And yet here was the prophet Isaiah in 700 BC saying a baby is going to come, and this baby is going to be born to a virgin. The virgin will be with child, will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel, the name. God with us. That's the miracle of Christmas, that the God who made the universe became a person at Christmas. That this baby born in a manger, in a feeding trough, in a cow shed out the back of a pub, was God come in the flesh. Pop song a couple of years ago, what if God was one of us, just a slob like one of us, on the bus like one of us? You kind of imagine God would have kind of like some sort of Mercedes, but no, not a Mercedes, not even a bus, but a manger. And born of a virgin. And some people are cynical about the virgin birth. Joseph was cynical about the virgin birth when he first heard about it. But what persuades me is if God can make a world, then it shouldn't be too hard to make a virgin pregnant. That's the what. What about the why? Why did God become one of us? Why did God come dwell amongst us? Look what the angel says to Joseph, 21. She, that's Mary, will give birth to a son. You ought to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. The reason that God came as a person, as a baby, was that the baby would grow up to save people from their sins. Now, saving, I get that idea with Bullimore, Australian Navy Rescue. The extract that I read to you was from Bullimore's diary, or actually it was from the Spectrum, part of the Herald. I kept it from a couple of months when it was first published, and in the Herald a few months after that in 1997. But that big word, saved, I get the meaning of that when you're talking Navy, when you're talking ships, but what does it mean, saved from sins? I want to come at it this way. God is powerful. God is pure. God is the creator. God is the maker of the world. God is in charge of the world. God owns the world. And there is a way that God wants his people to live. The key way that God wants his people to live is recognizing him as God, acknowledging him as God, respecting him, honouring him as God, obeying him, loving him. And there is not a man, not a woman, not a girl, not a boy in this room who has done that properly. None of us have recognised God as God consistently. None of us have lived like God is God consistently. And so there is a judgment. So there is a punishment. And God saves by sending Jesus. Now, straight after the rescue of Bullimore in 1997, it was the silly season, not many news stories, and the way our media went, and a number of people here who were involved in the coverage back then, the way our media went was immediately the question went, who will pay for the rescue operation? Defence Force needs to be funded, and should the Navy be up and down combing the Atlantic Ocean, looking for the Indian Ocean, looking for rich British millionaires who are too indulgent to take out insurance and go on these stupid trips around the world on their own? And that's the way the news media went the week or two after Bullimore's rescue. And we, well, I say we as an Australian taxpayer, we spent millions rescuing this man, Bullimore. Saving someone from drowning is very expensive, but saving someone from sin is much more expensive. What does it cost to save from sin? Well, Jesus, God in the flesh, grows up, walks into the city of Jerusalem on a Thursday in April, has dinner with some friends, goes praise in the garden, is arrested and executed. God killed to save from sin. Punished. Who for? Whose sins? You see here in that sentence, where is it there? 21. She, Mary, will give birth to a son. You're to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus is God in the flesh, punished for his people, beaten for his people, broken for his people, dying for his people, cost millions to save Bullimore from drowning, cost the death of God himself to save his people from their sins. At the moment when Jesus died, the punishment, the anger that should have been directed at me instead was directed at Jesus. Jesus absorbed that anger, the punishment that should have been directed at us. Now, every 9th of January, I take it for the rest of his life, Bullimore will celebrate that he was saved from sin. He will recognise that day as a defining day in life. Jesus's people, his people, the ones who are saved from sin, they recognise Christmas Day because it is the anniversary of the day that Jesus arrived on the planet to do the work of saving. We celebrate Christmas because it's the entry point of God coming in the flesh to be the Saviour. We celebrate Easter because it's when God actually did the saving of people from sin. You can't get to Easter without going through Christmas, so we celebrate Christmas. And so how should we react to Christmas? What should our feeling be about Christmas? We shouldn't just be stressed. We should have absolute unparalleled elation, a joy so pure that it actually hurts. Don't go round to people over morning tea saying, commercial-free Christmas. So how do you feel? Absolute unparalleled elation. Do you feel that? Is that how you feel? Well, that's what we're saying when we're saying Merry Christmas. I've been saved from sin. You're saying, well, I haven't. Have you? I mean, have you been saved from sin? The question is, are you one of his people? I printed a prayer. It's on the handout sheet, but it's on the... I think it's coming. There it is. A prayer. A prayer to pray that I'd be able to pray. And if I could pray this prayer, a prayer, I'd be able to say, joy is Christmas. Merry is Christmas. Wonder is Christmas. Absolute unparalleled elation is Christmas. Let's look at it. Dear Jesus, thanks for coming to dwell with us at Christmas. Thanks for dying for us at Easter. Thanks that in your death you saved people from sins. Now here's the key bit. I want to be one of your people and live with you as my God. Is that where you're at this Christmas day? I mean, that is the question. For me, I went through the first 21 years of my life and that wasn't where I was at. But there was a moment when I recognised before God that I had sins, that I was a sinner, and that I wanted to be saved. And that was a pivotal moment in my life, 26th of January, 1986. And from Christmas Day on, Christmas Day the next year, Christmas Day 1987 on, I've been able to say this is the day that I'm celebrating with joy, that absolute unparalleled elation, that God came to save me from sin. I'm going to lead in prayer, praying that prayer, thanking God for this move of Christmas Day that we could... And isn't it wonderful that our government in Australia gives us 2 days off to reflect on what a great thing it is that Jesus has done for us? And isn't it terrible that we lose it in the commercialism of Christmas? But let's pray this prayer with joy this morning. Would you join me in speaking to God in prayer? Only pray it if you mean it. But if you mean it, speak to God with me in prayer. I'm going to pray. I'll give you a moment to grab each idea of the prayer and say it to God in your own heart. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for coming to dwell with us at Christmas. Thank you for dying for us at Easter. Thanks that in your death you saved people from their sins. I want to be one of your people and live with you as my God. Amen. Did you pray it? Did you pray that prayer with me? Did you say that to God? If you prayed that prayer and you prayed it with me and you said it to God, then you should have the feeling. You should have the feeling of absolute unparalleled elation, a joy so pure that it actually hurts, that I am saved from sin. That's wonderful, isn't it? That is Merry Christmas. Now, I just want to say, as a church community, as Christians in the media, as Annandale Community Church, what we are about is helping people on the journey in relationship with God. Helping people both begin that relationship with God. And it could be that today, Christmas Day, you've begun that journey. And that's wonderful. And or it could be that you look, wow, Dominic, I mean, I've had Santa, I've had all these kind of things, but I just hadn't twigged that that's actually what it was about in that kind of detail before. But I wasn't quite ready to pray that prayer with me, but I'd like to take it further. The way we do it is through that Introducing God course that Evan, we showed the video a moment ago. Now, if you would like to do that course with us, well, what we'll do is we'll have 10, 15 people do the course. We'll kick it off in about the third week in January. It'll be around a table, it'll be over dinner. It's relaxed, it's friendly. And if you'd like to put your hand up for that, on the comment card, the visitor's card. I'm going to ask everybody this morning, if you wouldn't mind just filling that in. I've got one here, you've got one there. Could I think Carrie and John, they're going to pass out around some pens, but what happens in these kind of situations is there's always somebody in every row who says, I'd like to do that course, but I don't want to be the only one filling in the card. So I'm just going to ask everybody if they'd mind filling in one of our visitor's cards. Let us know that you've been here. And if you'd like to do the Introducing God course, just write in the comments thing, I'd like to do the Introducing God course. You might have another comment you'd like to make. In fact, if you don't actually have a profound thing to make, you could make a Facebook status update kind of comment. If you don't know what I'm talking about when I talk about Facebook, well, blessings on you. Let me fill mine in as well. Dominic's my name. You write your own one. I'm male. Contact phone number 9668244. Comments. I thought Dominic's talk. What we might get you to do, if you prayed that prayer with me, just write down, I prayed with you, Dominic. You write, I'd like to do the Introducing God course. You could write that. Can you fold the card in half for confidentiality? And then what we'll do is in our next carol, we'll pass those cards to the two centre aisles, and John and Kath will come and pick them up, and we'll collect them, and then we'll get in contact with you after the holiday season and invite you along to that Introducing God course. Now, that passing, that's not a collection. That's not a financial collection. We actually do the financial collection through the Perspex box for our members and for Christian people who want to support the work of Christ in this place. Thank you very much for listening to me this morning. I'm looking forward to going back on holidays this afternoon and then coming back in a fortnight, and we're opening up the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, as our major teaching series through January and February. And it'll be a very exciting time here in church, kicking off in a fortnight's time. Looking forward to seeing you then. Thanks for listening, and we'll pass those cards to the aisle as Ping An and Nikki come and lead us in our next Christmas carol. So remember, a joy so pure that it actually hurts. Merry Christmas.